everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FA, Free FM. I'm sorry. There's so much, so many chicks in here right now. I'm about to break a hip because I'm getting osteoporosis as I'm sitting here. I need my Boniva. Ladies and gentlemen, Carrie Kasem is with us every other Tuesday. Nice to see,
see you.
See
you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday. And from the morning show.
Yeah, I just got that.
Teresa Strausser, nice to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey.
It's so great to meet you after I've been listening to you for years.
I don't think we've ever met.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, we have never met.
How pretty is she?
Yeah, she is
amazing.
Honestly, look at the dress you're wearing. I mean, Jesus.
You're
some lucky
so
guys.
It's amazing. In person, you're like prettier
Thank
than you,
you
are in pictures. You're so pretty.
You look
wow.
at that.
I like
All
this
right.
show already.
It's very comfortable, isn't it, for you?
It's so comfortable.
All right. Now, Teresa has, you don't come from mega bucks.
Dad was a mechanic.
Right.
Fixing cars,
right.
Wearing a jumpsuit, name Nelson stitched on it, the whole thing.
Carrie Kasem, you come from mega bucks, and yet you both lived in S-holes.
Yeah.
That's not a joke. I hope my sister's listening tonight, because she'll call in and tell you how bad it was. Because I can't even describe how bad it was. My crack house that I lived in.
Now, your dad is pretty well off.
Yeah, he's pretty rich.
I mean, that guy is probably worth $35, $40 million.
I don't know. You know, he never discusses
Maybe
finances
north of that.
I have no idea.
And he didn't give you a little dough to...
Well, I mean, he put me through school, and right. he always helped out a little bit there. Always.
That's nice.
Like,
now, did you go to a public or a private school?
Well, this was a college. It was it's like a FAME kind of school. It's
right.
an accredited school, yet it still had all the arts programs.
You went to FAME school? Like
Kinda,
movie star school?
Yeah.
School
wow.
of the Arts?
Yeah.
Wow.
American Academy of Dramatic Arts. Over
Look
Dramatic
at you.
Arts is what I called it. Yeah, so when I was there, he did give me, he helped me out, but it was a budget. He's like, here, this is how much you have. You know, I will spend this much on rent, and I'll help you out with food. Anything else, get a job. That
right.
was basically my dad's philosophy. It's great, because now I have really great work ethic.
But yes, you do.
This was terrible. The only place I could find was in South Pass, and this was, gosh, in the 90s, or like mid-90s.
Right.
And it was pretty bad back then. It wasn't when Old Town, it was just starting to get renewed. And I found this crack house right off a street called State Street, which is along train tracks. And that tells you immediately, oh no.
Yeah,
watch
you're
out.
Always on the wrong or right side.
Yeah, it's true.
Tracks.
Well,
it's very true.
If you're anywhere near them, you're on the wrong side
That's
of them.
That's true.
No, it's very true.
You know, because there are people, like I took the metro or the train down to San Diego with my daughter recently. And that train passes within about 4 or 5 feet of apartments.
Sure.
And I can hear it. I live in the San Fernando Valley. I live 5 miles from Roscoe Boulevard. And I can hear it at night from mm-hmm. my backyard. Can you imagine if you're 5 feet from it,
yeah.
how you hear it and how it shakes your house? But those apartments that line the train tracks are filled with guys who've made bad decisions.
Absolutely.
Yes.
One bad decision after the next.
Leads you to the tracks. And another way you know you're in a bad neighborhood, the train. But also there's a mortuary. In almost every bad neighborhood I've lived, when I lived in K-Town, I lived in several different parts, and there was always a mortuary around the corner.
That's Koreatown,
Someone's
right?
Someone's going to die. Yeah,
yeah.
Koreatown.
Yeah.
Someone's going to die, and when they do, they don't
right.
want to have to go far with
right.
the body.
Right. Did you live across the street from a mortuary? Or
yes.
From
and then at a certain point, I lived in Hollywood right off Gower near the cemetery, the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Right.
Yeah.
They show movies
right.
there at
yeah,
night and stuff.
Yeah.
When I lived there, I just lived in a studio. That was my first place in L.A. $385.
Wow.
Weren't allowed to have air conditioning because the electrical was too old.
Oh, man.
That, but, and I was telling you guys before.
Well, who needs air conditioning in L.A.?
Right. It's not that
it's
bad.
A luxury.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I'd go to audition. And I'd be like in a full sweat, and so I'd have to put my shirt on a hanger in the car.
Right.
Did you ever do your makeup on in the car, you know, so it wouldn't melt off
yeah.
you? Yeah. I've done that before. I've lived in no air conditioning. In fact, the place I was telling you about, that crack house, no air conditioning. And I'm telling you, my dad gives me enough money to get this place. I, no joke, pull up a mattress from the garage. This is disgusting. Pull up a mattress. Actually, a box spring. And I brought a mattress over, but it was the box spring from the garage. Put the mattress on there. I pulled up. There was a free couch. It said free on it. Me and my roommate grabbed that couch, put it in the living room, and covered it with a big blanket. And what we had, we stole some crates from Ralph's, grabbed the crates and put a TV on it, put two crates together to make the coffee table. And then this is the greatest. We had a big box that we used to move. So we turned the box over in the kitchen and we put two crates as chairs. And that was our kitchen table.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, this is nice, except you know what I'm thinking about, Tim? How much she's going to inherit. This is all going to be a quaint story. I got nothing. I got no net. No.
Yeah, right. In the end,
all that money will be yours, right?
Yeah, this all leads to Carrie owning South Pasadena.
Yeah, you will be owning that crack house. So this
guys,
is all a quaint story.
I wish I came
so
from
not
money
like that.
You did.
Oh, yeah. Well,
all right.
So wait, let me tell you what my dad said when he walked in. This is the best. My dad walks in, I'm thinking he's going to feel sorry for me. This is terrible.
He said,
it's
this is going to be an adorable story when you get all my money.
Yeah.
Right. He walks in, and he's so proud of me.
Is that right? And he let you stay there?
Disgusting couch for a year. Sits on this disgusting couch. It was, and my sister comes in, she's appalled. Everybody's appalled. And my dad, with a big smile on his face, is like, this is great. You know, you're really going to work your way up in life. You got to start from the, you know, from the bottom.
Oh,
no
boom.
Joke. Totally proud.
Oh, but yeah. See, but I thought that's the reason why people work is so their kids don't have to go through the crap they went through.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But, you know, he wanted to instill this work ethic and, you know, you work, you get things.
Yeah,
you
isn't
don't,
there,
just
isn't there another
just
way
to
get
to
that other than living in a crack house?
It'd be so wonderful.
Yeah, that seems extreme. Now, he's not going to do an Aaron Spelling on you, is he?
Oh, yeah. You know what? They could, though, because, you know, a friend of mine, this happened to a friend of mine where his dad was probably worth about $50 million. Oh. And as he got older, he got dementia and he turned on his whole family.
Oh, no.
And he wrote everybody out of the will. He didn't get a dime from his dad. And that, so that, you know, that does happen. I'm not going to say, you know.
You just watch yourself.
Yeah, you know, he never
on Father's Day, that's your big day.
He will never discuss
that
finances. I don't know how much he makes. I mean, he's never once in, you know, in his, in my entire life ever discussed
my dad with me. Discusses them, and it's usually in the form of,
F-words.
Taxes are due, and I'm a little behind. Your pops, and what he does is, what I love about my pops is, I loaned him money last year to pay his taxes, but he feels so guilty and he's so ashamed about it
right. That
he can only ask me in an email. So he asks me in the email, and then he gives me back an extraordinary amount of interest as though, a usurious amount if I were charging
it. Makes
it.
Him feel better.
Yeah. And he says, I gave it back to you with a little smile in it. He calls it a smile. Put a smile in the check. So
right. So you know what? When you say he with a smile, that means he gambles.
Well, no, the smile to him is the interest he paid it back.
Right.
I know, but does he gamble?
No, he makes a lot of bad decisions.
Oh, I see.
But
okay.
Gambling isn't one. You know, some people, they
because
just...
Because that's a gambler's term.
Is it?
Yeah, it's when you say to somebody, hey, how'd you do in Vegas? You got smiles?
I never heard of that.
That means, did you win?
Yeah, okay, now I know where that came
never
from.
Heard of that.
Well, mostly what happened in his case is my stepmonster, now deceased, she liked to spend.
Right.
Yeah, and she didn't like to work.
Ah.
And the working to spending ratio was out of whack.
Ah, so
and,
like Ed McMahon's wife. Huh?
Yes,
right.
And you know, being a mechanic is pretty physical. And you know, after he turned 60, he couldn't really do it, you know, as fast as he could have before. So
right, the young 19-year-old guys get in there.
Yeah, but I know it's a weird feeling. I know, and I just got married less than 2 weeks ago, and
congratulations.
Thank you. Yay. And I told my husband beforehand because you know you have to have a really honest financial conversation, like a really. It is more intimate than sex. Just telling somebody exactly what you have,
absolutely
every cent you have,
revealing credit scores.
Yes, everything. We had that, you know, when we. About 3 months into dating, and I told him, you know, we're going to have to take care of my dad. And he said, that's okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably why you married the guy.
That's so sweet.
That's pretty sweet.
That's pretty neat.
You know, I'm telling you, they should have a FICODate.com where you date on, you know, the FICO score is part of it. Yeah. Because you know how responsible that person is. And you can, I just think it's a great way. My girlfriend and I came up with this. FICODate.com. No joke.
Now, it could be construed as somewhat shallow.
Well, I wouldn't date anybody. I honestly think it shows you how responsible.
Maybe.
It doesn't tell you how much money you make.
It's not the amount.
Yeah, but are you not going to date a guy because you're
a
698 and he's a 700?
I make more money than any guy I make, and most of the time they don't have credit scores and credit cards. So, I mean, not the one I'm with now, who I absolutely adore and is
phenomenal.
What's
this guy all about?
He's fantastic. He's a composer, and he's just, he plays every instrument.
I just heard poor.
He's not
a composer.
No.
Should compose himself a job application, make some money.
He's literally my next door neighbor. I'm dating my next door neighbor. I feel like it's Melrose Place.
Yeah, but you know, that guy must be an angel to put up with you because you're.
Why? What's wrong? She seems delightful.
She's
a dreamer.
She's really, I mean, once you get to know Carrie, I mean, she on the outside she looks like she's very simple, but she's very complex.
In what way?
She's she goes through phases. Right now, she's in Scientology.
Is that true?
I've taken some classes in the Scientology building.
You do have a look in your eye.
Let me tell you.
Do you know Tom?
No.
Do you know Katie?
No.
What's going on with Will Smith?
I have no idea.
But she's also...
I've taken
I mean,
couple classes there, but that have helped me turn around the way I study, and it's made my life a whole lot different. I'm writing now, which I couldn't do before.
Okay. Are you going to come by with a van and extract her?
Well, no. But see, this is why I love Carrie, because eventually she comes back to what you want her to be. She goes off on these tangents, like now she's in Scientology.
Right.
Before she was into...
I've tried everything.
Extreme veganism.
Kabbalah? I'm still vegan.
Vegan.
I mean, I'm still very strict vegetarian.
Plus, she doesn't like to shower and doesn't like sex.
And that has never changed.
Right.
That is not so. There's no ups and downs with me. I am who
I am. You don't like sex?
Well, I've gotten better now. Do you really want me to tell her why? Because you didn't want me to mention this again.
Well, the yeast infections.
Yes. Yeah. I will constantly
Jesus
get these.
Christ.
This is awful. I'm sorry, Teresa,
no,
that you have
please.
To deal with this.
Listen, when you have girl parts, there's always trouble.
I had too much yeast.
Hey, guys, I apologize before, but I have to warn you. You have to take a Boniva to listen to this hour. Or else you are going to break a hip.
Tim,
while
honestly,
you're driving home.
Because you don't have a reproductive system, you're not going to have the kind of problems that we have. There's a whole system, and systems fail.
I know.
It's
fantastic.
I know.
And
but
I constantly,
very rarely you hear two guys sitting around go, hey, you ever see the size of my prostate?
Do you know how much I have to listen to talk about masturbation and nut sacks?
And you can't
God
have babies. You don't have all that stuff down there.
Right.
So, anyways, I had these yeast infections that were constant. Every time I've had sex, I would get one, period. It was a bladder infection or yeast. Every time they had me on antibiotics, I was like done with it. And then I realized I had too much yeast in my system, candida, parasites. I did a flush, and now I haven't had one since. It's amazing.
But
amazing.
Can you have sex now without getting one?
I've had it for the last, 6 months? Not one.
So she's fine.
Yeah.
But see, this is also like she dated a Mormon she did not have
people.
Sex
right.
with.
Virgin.
You did not have sex
no,
with.
No, he's a virgin.
And you've also
Fantastic.
Cheated on every boyfriend you've ever had.
Except for the last boyfriends in the last 2.5
years.
What
about this composer? Will you be cheating on him?
Teresa! He's actually working on big movies. He actually makes money, but, you know, he's good. We're not rich. Neither one of us are rich. Neither one of us are rich at all, but we do well. And hopefully one day we will be.
All right, the crappy neighborhoods that you've lived in, if you've gone from S to a decent place... you want to recall your great moments back in the old S-hole you used to live in. 520-9710. That's 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. Now, I lived in Koreatown for about 2 years. I lived right across from the radio station when we used to be over at 3580 Wilshire. And I said, you know, since I live right across from the station, I can get rid of my car. I don't have to have that payment and the insurance or everything. And Bob Moore, the general manager of this station, said to me, he pulled me aside. He said, Tim, if you live in L.A., you need a car. And that's all he said to me. He walked away.
You didn't have a car.
That was good advice. Now, in your crappy neighborhood, I don't know if you ever did the Megan's Law search, but in my last digs when I started working on the Adam Carolla show, we did it as a bit on the show, and there were 87 registered sex offenders within 1 mile.
Is that right?
Of my home on Commonwealth, where, by the way, wealth was not common.
That's unbelievable.
That's how they sell the street, huh?
I was like, Commonwealth, my first home.
Wow.
It sounds so regal. And 86, that means there are more sex offenders than not.
Right.
You know, I went on a jog. Everywhere I looked, I thought, that guy wants to molest me.
I wonder if the sex offenders are going to, like, Teresa's Law.
Yeah.
And seeing how many a-hole normal people are effing up their neighborhood. You know,
right.
I mean, there's probably about 75 normal people within a mile of you, but 86 sex offenders. So they rule the house.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a prison.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
the tougher guys rule the joint.
Sure.
And you guys were effing up their action by, complaining, calling 911.
I was pretty cool. You know, I never really called the cops on anyone because when you live in a neighborhood, people leave you alone. You're one of theirs.
Right.
Every bad neighborhood I've ever lived in, I never had any trouble.
I used to live on Irolo, which is right near Normandy, on that tall building. And I was on the 20th floor. And it was great because for the entertainment, I had a police scanner. And I'd listen to a police scanner, and these helicopters would occasionally fly around looking for somebody, and they would actually be lower. They would be flying lower than my apartment because I was on the 20th floor. It's like 240 yeah. feet in the air. And they'd be flying like at eye level where I could see them, you know, arresting these guys, constantly hearing gunshots.
Oh, yeah. The choppers was all the time. It's just incoming.
Yeah.
All the time.
And I heard gunshots almost every night.
Well, in one of my buildings that I lived in Koreatown, there was somebody had gotten a key to the front door to the apartment building and had passed it out to various prostitutes.
Oh, good.
So they knew the hallway was a safe place to turn a trick. A warm, safe place to make a little money.
We had cops out in front of our building every day busting somebody for drugs. It was like, it was almost, it was a crack house. It was, everybody was busted for drugs.
Yeah.
So it was terrible.
I lived in an apartment. I spent $800 a month, and I was living underground at the time because I owed some money to the IRS. So I would have to like cash my check wherever I made money at the bank that issued it.
Right.
So I'd be like driving all over town trying to find like the Wells Fargo.
Because the IRS was going to garnish your check?
They did. They had taken it from me. They said, you know, enough with you with the checks. So,
how old a man were you at this time?
I was like 34, 35.
No.
Absolutely. I used to go to the post office on Normandy, just a block north of Wilshire. And I could give them, you know, like money, and they give me a cashier's check, and I'd hold on to the cashier's check.
They take a smile out, though.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No,
there's a VIG.
The post office doesn't. They take like a dollar out or something. It's really cheap. And then you can cash that at any post office in the nation. So I was like on Easy Street. I was enjoying myself. I remember going out with Jennifer, and she'll confirm this, my wife, that one of our first dates, I had to stop at the post office to cash.
So embarrassing.
A cashier's check.
And
then off to the steakhouse.
That's a classy date.
Yeah.
Where were you working at the time?
I was working here at KLSX. I was just...
You forgot to pay your taxes?
I effed up with my taxes. I got radically into debt.
How'd you get out of it? You called one of those tax people?
Yeah, I had a good tax guy get me out of it. I think I owed $150,000 in taxes. There's a little gambling in there. I don't know. This isn't the judging hour, girls. But there was a little gambling.
I thought was just healthy curiosity and inquiry.
There's a little gambling going on, sure.
Now,
but
poker,
the big gamble
was the
big gamble was, could I make enough money where I could buy my way out of it? And it paid off.
So, in other words, that debt was really a motivator for you.
That debt was it was a big hit.
Did you tell your wife, how early on did you tell your wife that the man is into me for $1.75?
Well, she just listened to the radio, and we talked about it on the radio. And so she listened to the radio, and she knew. But she was in the same boat, because when I, the third or fourth date that I had with her, I went to San Clemente to pick her up, and it was like at, I don't know, like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, and I go into her apartment, she has candles all over the place. I'm like, oh, this is really romantic. And I go to hit the light switch, and no juice.
Oh,
so
no.
she had her electricity shut down because she wasn't paying her electric bills. And I'm, you know, wandering from post office to post office to try to pay for a happy meal. And so we had no money. You know, we had no dough.
It's kind of romantic.
But I actually enjoyed it.
How did you meet her?
I met her at Home Depot. We were giving away tickets to a concert, to a Rolling Stones concert. And she happened to be there. Like buying, she worked for her father who owned a construction company, and she was buying supplies.
You and Steckler?
Yeah. And we were giving out tickets at Home Depot.
Yeah.
And I ran into her there, asked her. I went out like a week later.
I've done a couple Home Depot gigs. Those are classy.
Yeah, Home Depot is great.
In the parking lot?
Yeah.
Under the tent?
Yeah, we were inside.
Oh, what?
This is
they don't let me in.
Fancy, man. All right, now Gina Grad, who is our producer and also our screener, she can't talk about how she used to live in a crappy neighborhood because she still does.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
How much are you paying in rent?
$640
a month.
And just FYI, you're not in the know anymore because now you're all moving on up. But those choppers in our part of town are actually called the ghetto birds.
Ah.
And they light your way home from your car to your apartment door.
Very good. Now, so you're paying $680.
Yeah, $640.
$640. Wow, yeah. You're getting a big
deal. And is that a studio or a one bedroom?
It's a studio.
Yeah. Can you tell us about your neighbors?
Yeah. Well, they're the 18th Street Gang.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. They tag my place, my old place,
all
the time.
Yeah. I just, for the first time in 2 years, I just got my car broken into for the first time.
Mazel
Thank you.
Tov.
Thank you very much. And
by the way, Gina's Jewish. I believe the only single white Jewish girl living in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. Same thing when I lived in Harlem. And my friends who live in the nice part of like the Larchmont district were pissed off because their cars got broken into first. And they're like, we live in a great neighborhood and we got jacked. How do you never get broken into? And I was like, well, when you have six members of the 18th Street gang sitting on your hood, it's really hard to steal.
Gina's right. It's pretty safe in a bad neighborhood because they do look out for their own. And they don't want police activity in the neighborhood.
No, they do not want any police activity.
They don't want you to call the cops.
And I told you that one night those cops were following me and kind of like, not harassing me, but like, you really shouldn't be here, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't be here. You should move. Do you want an escort? There's a lot of problems. Yeah. And I was like, dude, get the F away from me. Like, I don't want them to see you with me. It's like, seriously, if you want to do me a favor, take a hike.
Now, Gina, I don't want to be a one-upper, but in my building, that was $385. And tell me if you have this in yours. Uh-huh. Every afternoon, a truck pulled up. Meals on Wheels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Many of the inhabitants of what I call the Village of the Damned could not get their own food.
Uh-huh. Right.
One guy had chronic fatigue syndrome.
I have that.
Do you?
Yeah. Where is that Meals on Wheels number?
Was it really like a charity service?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every day
I don't have those, but I have one ice cream truck fronting as an ice cream truck, and I have one real ice cream truck, and I have one fruits and veggies truck. And I have one like roach coach, like taco truck. And then I have one guy that comes down going every morning, wakes me up at 7 going, tamales, 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 tamales. And then I have a truck that goes by yelling some sort of political stuff in Spanish.
And that's from the ice
probably
cream
7 a.m.
I like
to 10
the carts where they give you the mangoes or the papaya and they put the lime and the pepper on it. Have you guys ever had that?
I've
like
seen
the chilies?
It, but I'm not. Nah. I'm not
oh, it's so
I like
good.
I like to have, at least when I'm eating something, to be able to trace its origin when I die or get you know, food poisoning or I'm in the hospital for 2 weeks. Like if I buy a bad package of meat from Ralph's and I'm in the hospital for 2 weeks, I can go to Ralph's and go, hey, can you help me out here? But you can't go to the guy who's shaving ice on the corner and say,
but
hey.
But you get the mangoes and you just put enough of that chili pepper on it that'll kill anything. I'm telling you.
All right, Carrie Kasem is with us. Teresa Strauss is with us. If you've lived in a crappy neighborhood, 520-9710. Perhaps you still live in a crappy neighborhood. And 888-520-9710. Real quick, before we get to these calls, when I lived in Koreatown, I had inflatable furniture. I had an inflatable couch and I had an inflatable chair, right? So my girlfriend, before I met my lovely wife, said, you know, you can literally move from one apartment to another on like a bicycle. You know, you just deflate your furniture and you move on.
Sure, put in the little basket.
Yeah. And I knew it was time to step up when I fell asleep smoking a cigarette on one of these chairs and ended up on the floor in the morning.
Oh, man.
I had burn holes all over these things. It was.
You can also use them as pool toys, too. So when you have kids, you know, it's great.
All right. Let's talk to Bob in Redlands. You're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Pretty good, Timmy. How you doing?
All right, man. What's up with you?
Well, when I was 19, I moved to Daly City right there by San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, that's my hometown, San Francisco.
And we were the only white people I ever saw there. I lived there for 6 months. About a month after I moved in, a guy got killed 3 doors up from us. And the next day, the cops knocked on our door wanting to use our roof for surveillance.
Jesus.
And then about a month after that, a van got blown up across the street while I was outside trying to figure out how the cops were there.
Those were probably just kids having fun, you know?
Yeah, guys enjoying themselves.
I think he's topped us, though. The cops asked to use his home as a surveillance spot.
Yeah, the worst part was we didn't think we could say no to him because we had all our you know, paraphernalia sitting right there on the table.
Right.
And they're like, well, we don't care. Just let us use the roof. I'm like, okay, man.
So what did you have? You have crack pipes?
You were candle making? Or?
Yeah, well, you know, we just smoked a lot of pot. Yeah.
Oh, I see. All right. So it wasn't a mistake that you landed up in the neighborhood.
What kind of mistake did I make?
No. All right. Thanks, buddy.
I assume when he said paraphernalia that maybe he and his friends were doing some decoupage.
Right.
They had glue and magazine cutouts and wood. Right.
It's the first thought that ran through my head.
Yeah. It's never a mystery why people end up in these neighborhoods. You know, it is. It's a lot of bad choices. And every time you're presented with a choice, you make the wrong one.
Weren't you smoking a lot of pot when you got that in inflatable furniture?
I was pretty into weed. Yeah. Lot of drinking. A lot of gambling and an inflatable couch.
No car.
You
inflatable
really turned
couch.
Your life around.
Koreatown.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But I used to stick to the couch. So I went up and changed the TV set. I would drag the whole couch with me.
Jesus Christ.
Now, I'm thinking you could fill this inflatable furniture with water and freeze it. in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
And cool yourself down.
I didn't have air conditioning, but what I did used to do is, you know, those blue ice packs that you have for when you get injured?
Yeah.
Sure. I used to keep those in the freezer.
For your heart.
Right. And then when I go to bed, I would put them on my chest or on my legs when I slept.
That's what she did for her yeast infections, because you get a burning.
Exactly. That's right.
But I'd wake up with frostbite. So
you're Beck Weathers from Into Thin Air with the black nose half off. For gosh sakes! Yeah.
And he got his on Mount Everest. I got mine.
My second
Korea
Beck Weathers reference today. That's too many. People got that.
John in Pasadena, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey, dude.
Teresa, you rock.
Thank you.
And Tim, been listening to you for years.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, so I
anything
used to live
for Carrie or effort?
No. It's okay.
No, not at all.
No. You got it. Right. Never mind.
Carrie Kasem?
Yeah.
Oh, Kasem, love him.
Okay.
All right.
Hatred used, for no reason. Go ahead.
I used to live in Highland Park and grew up there. And so we used to play in the L.A. River as kids.
Oh, How polluted is that?
With the polywogs?
More like shopping carts and dead gangsters.
Ah, oh, that's fun. Yeah, we used to play in the L.A. River, too, out near Balboa and Victory, and we used to collect frogs and polywogs and bring them home. It was great. It was great entertainment. I don't think you can do it today, though.
Yeah, did you play Marco, gangster?
Yeah. I don't think you could go to the river today. And I like how they call that. They still call that the river. Yeah. You know, it's nothing but concrete. Yeah. It's filled with...
Very euphemistically named.
The Los Angeles River.
Did you ever play at that dam? It's in Sherman Oaks, Encino.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we would
Sepulveda
sneak
dam.
In there, and we'd ride our bikes and skateboards in it.
Yeah, before Burbank Boulevard crossed
there. Exactly.
All right, let's talk to Jim in Burbank. You're on 97.1 Free FM. How are you?
Hey, Timmy. Not bad.
All right.
I was calling to say, I currently live in a really crummy neighborhood.
Sirens.
Sirens. We call those the Christmas bells. It's in North Hollywood, sandwiched between the airport and the 5 freeway and 2 sets of railroad tracks.
Oh, yeah.
It's real quiet, especially if you want to sleep. On a Sunday morning, it's just about the only time when we get any kind of rest around there. But around 6:30 in the morning, it's mariachi music every single day.
What are you paying in rent?
I'm paying about $850 a month for a one-bedroom that hasn't been renovated since 1935.
Now, how about on the 4th of July? Did you get a lot of gunshots?
There were several explosions every 5 minutes, every
That's
single,
the hallmark of a bad neighborhood.
Yeah. Now, what are you doing for a living?
I'm trying to be a writer, but in the meantime, in order to pay the bills and not be unemployed, I'm making phone calls for a living. It's not a really great job.
Like telemarketing?
I work for an organization that raises money for not-for-profit groups.
How often do you get hung up on?
Every other call, pretty much.
Can you give me the pitch?
Sure. Hi, my name is Jim. I'm calling on behalf of whatever. We're calling to... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, we're calling...
I'm excited about whatever.
He's getting hung up on.
I was figuring you were going to hang up with me. We're calling today in order to raise funds for XYZ Project. A lot of times it's environmental organizations. So
get out of here.
You know what? I feel bad for the telemarketers, and what I do is I break up with them. I say, look, it's not you. You're doing a great job, and I know you're sticking to the script, and you're putting your own feeling into it, and I really like what you're doing. I just feel that you and I aren't really connecting, and I need some time. I just need to get my head together. And if I could just have a little space, and maybe I'll call you back. And they're confused.
This guy does live in a neighborhood. I used to live in Riverside, off Riverside near Laurel Canyon.
Yeah.
And there was a sign in the building next to me. The sign said $399 moves you in, right? So you know the people that are moving in. They have $399.
Right. Is this a no down payment situation?
But what the sign doesn't say, it should be completed. $3.99 moves you in and the sheriff moves you out.
Generally, that's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, because it will happen.
Yeah, they
in
will come.
In 3 or 4 months, they're going to ask your ass to move out of there.
Now, in your downtimes, when you owed the man, were you ever removed from any of your premises?
I was never removed, but I came very close because I used to pay rent in cash. And the building changed owners, and the previous owner stole a lot of money.
Ooh.
So he said, you got to show me your receipts because we don't think you've paid rent for the last 6 months. So I had those receipts in my backpack, which I left at which I left at Whiskey Pete's.
Oh, I love Whiskey Pete's. Don't get no. Oh, please, I love it there. Oh,
man. And Whiskey Pete's, I had to drive
across
to Whiskey,
from Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I had to drive to Whiskey Pete's because I left my backpack there with all the receipts in it.
Now, have you made a lot of bad decisions that led you to Whiskey Pete's? Because that's not a place
absolutely
where you just end up because you've made good ones.
That was a long time ago. Now I got a kid, I got a wife, I'm making a little dough. I'm doing a little better. But still, I got a, I got a
what's that town called? Outside Vegas?
It's not Pahrump. Prim.
Yeah, two
Prim.
M's.
All right, Carrie Kasem is with us. Also, Teresa Strasser is with us. You can hear Teresa every single morning on the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser. And if you lived in a crappy neighborhood, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. And we're live. It's the Tim Conway Jr. Show on 97.1 Free FM.